Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can.
For the love of God, cherish it.
With Dusty Hera.
That's so sad for my team and me. I'm such a big supporter.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
But you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
On 1080.
It's showtime.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two, Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Okay, I got something. I'm gonna.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. What you got?
Okay.
Coming up firing.
I just retweeted this. My God, at Cam, you're gonna want to see this. Okay. You guys might have already seen this. It might not be a shock to you. I've just seen this, so this is my jaw just dropped to the floor. Last night after the game. Did you see what Odell Beckham was doing?
I tweeted the same thing from the fan account about three minutes before you did.
I can't utterly believe it, and I think it's spectacular. So anybody wants to pit... Oh, I almost said a bad word. No. Pee on the Cheerios of this. Odell Beckham, after the game, he's got wads of hundreds in cash in his pants. He pulls wads of money out. He is thumbing through it and handshaking players on the field of LSU and giving them wads of cash.
Not just that, got it out of his fanny pack too.
Wads of cash. And I can't tell you how, as it brings a whole new meaning to recruiting. I've never had the handshake before. And said, have you ever had the hand? No, I've never got handed any money. I was never offered any money at this point in time. Now, I'm assuming these guys are going to the NFL or they're seniors or maybe they're not. I'm looking at both of them. And
well, so the first Jefferson guy is Justin Jefferson. He's a junior.
He's a junior. Yeah. We know who he is.
Yeah,
I am flabbergasted by that, and I love everything about it. I love everything about it.
I, for one, am not that surprised that Odell Beckham's doing it.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's pretty brazen. Could you imagine being one of the guys like, nah, man, I got to come back to school?
Well, it's not like we don't know if they kept it or not. They could have totally, it could have been a show. He could have handed it back to them later.
There is an LSU handler. You can see him in a suit right behind.
I know it's a
Jefferson.
CNN guy.
And he's like, oh, God.
It's all over the camera. Like, oh, take this. Hey, here's a little something for the effort. A little something extra for the effort.
Speaking of a notable alumni on the field.
Incredible.
How in the hell did Booger McFarland become the honorary captain at the coin toss?
Well, he's a big deal. He's Monday Night Football analyst. He's an All-American, one of the greatest players.
Well, but a bigger deal than like Odell Beckham?
Odell Beckham?
He's a way bigger deal in history.
Really?
What?
LSU history? Booger McFarland? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
He's a Super Bowl champ in the NFL. Two-time Super Bowl champ. Booger McFarland is a way better LSU Tiger than Odell Beckham.
But I would say right now, Odell is the more well-known LSU Tiger.
I don't know. He's on the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, but he's a star NFL player. Booger's a commentator that catches a lot of flack.
But tell me this. Is Odell Beckham the guy you want to parade out in front to represent your program?
No, I'm not saying he's like the role model guy.
I was trying to just help you figure that out.
Right now is Booger?
Yeah. I mean, he's not the top-end analyst of all time, but he's a legend in both the NFL. I mean, NFL super legend, but he's one of the best LSU Tigers ever played.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was surprising. I was like, oh, man, it's just my Booger bias, to be 100% honest. I'm not a Booger guy. I'm not a Booger fan.
That video is, I have no words. I can't put it into words.
It's great.
What would you have done?
With what? The money?
No, would you have taken the handshake?
Yeah. Are you kidding?
You would have taken the money?
Yeah, well.
If you're an underclassman, you would have taken the money?
If I'm going to the NFL, yeah.
Oh.
Well,
I don't know if those guys are going to the NFL But I'm quite curious what if they took that money. We're going to need more info on this one.
That is, that's a certainty that, because you're not going to be that brazen to do it like that. I mean, you have to know, I can't take money, especially from Odell Beckham. Oh, when there's thousands of cameras around. Are they that dumb?
No, I don't.
They're not
that
dumb.
I don't think so.
No. Well, that's a pretty cool video.
You just say, ha ha, it was a joke, and then Odell's like, yeah, he gave the money back, and the guy's like, yeah, I gave the money back.
Yeah, I gave the money back. Yeah. Prove it.
I mean, do they have, like, trackers on him?
Yeah. Cash tracker?
Look, are we going to act like that doesn't happen behind the scenes?
Now it's just in the forefront for all to see.
Yeah, Odell Beckham just let us see what is happening anyways.
Yeah, look, who cares, by the way? You just won a national championship. Get your money.
Nah, he doesn't care one bit.
I don't care.
All right, let's get to. Oh, we got a lot of sports to get to. It's 7:09 already.
What's hot?
Spoken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story, compelling and rich.
All right, Blazers held on for a 115-112 win over the Hornets after getting bum-rushed in the third quarter. Charlotte outscored the Blazers 43-29. Damian Lillard's near half-court jumper to end.
How about the defense by Melo?
That ended the third quarter. That was the decider. That gave Portland a 91-89 lead. They ended up winning by three in the fourth. Melo played defense, yeah. And Anthony Tolliver. How about Anthony Tolliver's fourth quarter? He had 16 points in the fourth quarter, all 16 of his points.
Can I ask this question?
Anthony Tolliver, new star.
Just blatantly for Blazer fans, would you rather have Evan Turner back than Kent Bazemore?
Yes.
Truthfully?
Yes.
I think yes.
Yeah. I mean,
it's as clear as day.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to check in.
You're 100% right on that one there. Kent Bazemore has been a glowing.
He's not a bad guy. Disappointment. Just not.
Well, he's been a disappointment production-wise. He knows that too. You know. I mean, he hasn't been what he has been the last couple of years, and what he expected to be here in Portland. I think that's okay to say.
You're as cold as ice.
All four Ducks players that could have left early for the NFL draft in a press conference announced they are returning. Thomas Graham Jr., Deombador Lenore, Austin Foliu, and Jordan Scott. All said they're coming back for their senior campaigns. That means 9 of 11 starters on Oregon's defense will be returning.
Such good news. Such good news if you're an Oregon Duck fan. That team immediately is the number one defense. Not only just, it's locked down solid, number one defense in this conference.
Also, on the recruiting trail, they missed out on Wake Forest grad transfer quarterback Jamie Newman as he went to Georgia out of the transfer portal. Well, Houston's quarterback De'Eriq King has entered the transfer portal, could be a target for Oregon to go after. So if you're hot on the grad transfer market, it could be De'Eriq King, who's an electric. He's one of those guys. He can throw and run the ball, man. That's for sure.
And De'Eriq King, who surprisingly redshirted this last season after Houston started 1-3.
That is the Dana Holgorsen redshirted his two best players as quarterback and as wide receiver after that start.
And now they're leaving.
Yeah.
Well, one is. Yeah. One is.
AP Top 25 final poll in college football after LSU beat up on Clemson 42-25. LSU is number one. Clemson finishes second. Ohio State third. Georgia comes in at fourth. And that is a little bit surprising because which team was in the college football playoff?
Oh, yeah.
It was Oklahoma. They drop all the way down to seventh. Oregon finishes fifth, followed by Florida. And then the Boomer Sooners coming in at seven. So outside of that, Utah fell four spots in the final poll to 16th. Those are the only ranked teams for the Pac-12, Oregon and Utah. So final poll is out. There you go. He just tweeted out a picture of a cougar. Nick Rolovich is heading to Washington State. The Hawaii head football coach agreed to terms to become the Beavs head coach. About $3 million a year. He'll average. What'd I say?
Beavs.
Cougs. He'll average about $3 million a year in salary, according to Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports. Big get. He's a good young coach.
Huh? Rolovich, what about the built-in rivalry now with the Oregon State Beavers? Yeah. Remember the term? That's
where my mind was when I said Beavs.
Yeah. With the recruiting problem.
Bum, bum, bum.
How dare you recruit my own players and send letters?
Yeah.
Rolovich. Let's get a fight going. Come on. Beavers versus Cougars.
I think it's going to happen, dude. I think we can make that happen. And Rolovich, by the way, if you're unfamiliar with his offense, he likes to whip the ball around the field. He'll run the ball a little bit more than Mike Leach, but...
Will he use a tight end? Defensive guy. That's my question.
You're going to have to get one before you can use it. That would be the issue.
I don't even know what one is at Washington State. I don't even know what one is. It's like, what's that?
An excuse me?
What does that guy do?
What?
So offended. Both outraged and offended by that, Cougs.
The Houston Astros were hammered by Major League Baseball yesterday. A record $5 million fine for the organization. Meanwhile, general manager Jeff Lunau and manager A.J. Hinch were suspended by Major League Baseball for the entire 2020 campaign. They are eligible for reinstatement after the World Series ends next year. Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, going one step further and firing Hinch and Lunau after the MLB investigation found that they were responsible for the spying, recording, and transmission of banging on a trash can for pitch tipping during the 2017 season, and it spilled into the 2018 campaign as well. They were not the ones solely responsible for it. As Rob Manfred said, players and former coaches were also involved. That former coach would be Alex Cora, now manager of the Boston Red Sox, who's facing an investigation of his own now. So a black eye to the Houston Astros, the 2017 World Series championship, and now baseball trying to move on after they punished the Red Sox too, I guess. We'll have more on this one coming up at 7:30. Was it enough at 7:30, the Astros punishment? Coming up next, though, did you notice the Pac-12 refs? And one thing that's being overlooked out of the national title, 7:15 on the Fan. Rightfully so, Joe Burrow is getting a ton of credit for the 42-25 win last night in the national championship game of the college football playoff for LSU. They beat Clemson. Somebody had to go home. A 29-game unbeaten streak ended for Clemson. A streak of 50 games where they score first and win the game. Done. That's it. That's an incredible streak. It's a weird number, but it's an incredible streak when they score first and you win 50 games in a row. But Ed Orgeron's redemption tour is something that I think is a very cool story.
Yeah, take that, USC, you fight-ons.
Boy, does that decision not to hire him look more and more dumb as the days go on.
As us talking about Joe Burrow going to Nebraska. We have no idea how it would have turned out. The support is completely different. The recruiting is completely different. The passion is different. Everything is different. I do know that the man can coach.
So did the people of USC, though. You know? I mean... There is a guy, there's a story out about Brian Kennedy, who's the biggest, one of the biggest boosters at USC. He actually, practice field's named after him. And Ed O thanked him as part of his speech for the Eddie Robinson Coach of the Year Award. And Brian Kennedy was asked, he was at the ceremony, he was asked afterwards about the state of the USC program. And this is a guy practice field is named after. Mm-hmm. He said, dog blank. He said it's a mess. He said that the staffs that Ed Orgeron was on at USC were, quote, BS, but he didn't say BS. He used the full term. Mm-hmm. And that Ed Orgeron was a guy that he always believed in, was always a great coach. Because they didn't hire Ed Orgeron, it has drawn a rift between one of their biggest boosters and them. Hayden's decision to pass on him. People at USC knew
USC is not going to be USC for decades at this point. They're just not. They've lost all credibility. They've lost all their recruiting prowess. Everybody's going everywhere. The West Coast, everybody's going to Oregon, and they're going up north. They're leaving. They're leaving in droves because they understand the dysfunction of the place. So it's good on you. You had your run. You can catch back up maybe in a couple decades or not. I don't know. Find the right guy that could flip around. But at this point in time, you got no shot.
And one thing that I thought was really cool was Ed Orgeron addressed the fact that he was 10-25 at Ole Miss, his first run, 3-21 in conference play, got run out of Ole Miss and was passed up on USC. He addressed kind of everything after the game. And I thought, you know, there's a big opportunity for him just to stick his middle finger up and just be like, you know what, screw all you guys. And this is what he said.
You know, man, you know, people are going to talk and all that, but you can't let it affect you. You got to, I use that as an internal motivation. People, you know, they tease me the way I talk, tease me the way I look. And when, you know, it's kind of funny, the things that I was doing at Ole Miss, I was ridiculed for. Now I punch myself in the jaw and everybody at LSU likes it. So it just depends where you at, man. You know, it just, but it's been a great ride. I got to thank my family. And listen, man, I'm in the right place at the right time in a great school with a great coaching staff. I have all the resources that we need. I mean, you come to LSU, you just have to do it right, and you're going to win.
You know, sometimes it's good to see not the the poster child win everything. You know, the beautiful coach, the mm-hmm. pretty quarterback, the Trevor Lawrence with his lawn locks, which he's a great kid. I'm not going to sit there and tell you, but it is, there is definitely a look that a quarterback has in a head coach. There is something that the way Nick Saban holds himself, the way Pete Carroll in that time and how it was flash and it was, there was a connection. There was a look about it. Does LSU look, when you see Ed O on the sideline, does he look like you want to put him on the cover of GQ? Did Joe Burrow kind of look at that moment at the end? Maybe, but there was something about, yeah, internal motivation. Everybody's going to be critical. There's always going to be critics. There's always going to be somebody that puts you down. They're going to go after your idiosyncrasies. They're going to tell you you can't do anything. That's just what people do. That's never going to change. How you use it is different. And what you do with it and motivate you is different. And football is very, it's funny like that because you don't have to be the strongest. You don't have to be the biggest. You don't have to be the toughest. But as a group, when it comes together and all hits, it's just poetry. And sometimes you beat everybody. And you don't have to stand up and say, aha, I told you so. You just let your actions and your coaching and your ability. And that's what Coach O has done.
I love Ed Orgeron for a bunch of reasons. I think he's genuine. You can see that he cares about his players. You can see that he cares about guys that he recruited. I mean, we talked about this last week with Derek Brown, the big defensive lineman for Auburn. He went up and embraced him after Auburn almost beat LSU this season. And he said, I told you you're going to be in first round draft pick, you know, and you saw that relationship and how excited Brown was to see Ed O. And he bucks the trend of what a CEO of a college football program is supposed to look like and how he's supposed to act and how he's supposed to talk. You know, he doesn't feel like that guy. You know, he doesn't have those qualities of a head coach that you sit there and you're like, yeah, that's the guy I want leading my program. Yet he's the guy that's standing on top and is a national champion. And I think that it is awesome that he has his moment and he got his moment.
Yeah,
there.
He doesn't sound like USC, or maybe he doesn't look what it is, the part. What is it? I mean, what is the look? Do you know it when you see it? What is the sound? You know what the sound is? The sound is listening to those fans and listening to that team and watching, listen to how they talk about their guy. Listen to the locker room. When have you ever seen a locker room look like that? I mean, that's the celebrate. All that stuff just goes to the wayside. It's so cool to listen to a guy. You think he wakes up every morning and goes, I don't know. He knows how he talks. He knows what he sounds like. You know, everybody probably thinks he's a dumb redneck Cajun man from the bottom of Louisiana, which he kind of, that's where he's from.
Well, he plays that up, you know?
Well, yeah.
He does. He's awesome in that regard.
You got to know your audience. What is his audience? His audience is LSU. His audience is Louisiana. That group, those people, they can relate to that. And when you can relate to that, the kids want to be a part of it. They love it. They see it. Fans, people, family, everything. They want to be a part of it.
Yeah, but he can also relate to Joe Burrow, a kid from Ohio, you know? And that is, he can go into homes across the country and still win families over, which is just as impressive for Ed Orgeron and his kind of redemption tour he's on. It was pretty cool to hear him talk, to see him. And Tom Rinaldi did not get him to cry. Take that, Rinaldi. Mm-hmm. He was not going to cry one bit. You notice Pac-12 refs last night? God, that game seemed like it took forever.
Okay, first of all, the game was supposed to start at 5. It didn't start till almost 5:30 because we have all the shenanigans. So the TV coverage started at 5. The game did not. A college football game should not take that long. It really shouldn't. Commercials. What is the world record for commercials, by the way? Because I think we passed it last night.
I think it was
night.
Set. saw that getting set.
And the Pac-12 officials, that I'm glad the world got to see what it was like, and the rest of America got to see what it's like to have these the clowns that we have out here.
Yeah.
Now, not all of them are bad, but on a whole, they're bad.
And you know, I think what we saw
that pass interference call by Clemson on Clemson offensive pass interference was one of the worst calls. The targeting call is horrible. It needs to be fixed. College football fixed that immediately. A college athlete should never be ejected from a football game. Ever should be ejected for football game for that kind of targeting that happened last night. Now, of course, if you fight, punch, and do all other stuff, that goes without saying. You should not kick college athletes out of the game. Give it a 15-yard penalty. Give them two. Let them know. And then say you could be removed. It doesn't make any sense what you're doing with targeting. It doesn't. It has no value.
The Skalski targeting ejection, by the rule, it's an ejection. The rule is dumb, though.
Rule is horrible.
And that is, by rule, should it have been a penalty? Sure. Yeah, go ahead. If you want to make it a penalty, yes. Don't change the outcome of the game, because that was a big turning point in that game.
Huge turning point. You mean LSU could not figure out the Mike Blitz. The entire game had no ability to figure out the Mike Blitz.
And the offensive pass interference was pretty egregious on the T. Higgins touchdown that you were talking about. But also, how about the Trevor Lawrence interception that was rescinded because of a pass interference that was called after the guy was tackled from the PI?
Egregious.
Like, it was like, oh, well, I think a penalty should have been thrown there. Like, that should have been an interception for LSU.
I don't know if you caught it was part of that, and it's along your same lines of talking about pass interference, but if you caught Chris Fowler very quickly, you had to go back on the broadcast. But he even said it, and it was a damning comment towards the Pac-12. He mentioned how it's funny how pass interference is different from conference to conference.
Yep.
If you didn't catch it, it was one of the best comments and a damning comment towards the Pac-12 and the officials that were out there. And it was one of those wake-ups. It's like, yeah, did you see what we have to deal with out here and how the conference is led by inefficient people that are caught up in trying to make it about them and not about the players.
Well, and then the first half, they were letting so much contact go, and then the players adjust to it in the second half, and you start throwing penalties like the two that we just mentioned, the Trevor Lawrence interception that was rescinded and the T. Higgins OPI. Like, that is what makes the conference so bad as officials, is that the flow of the game changes from one quarter to the next quarter, from one drive to the next drive. And that's what's bad about it. But to make it solely on the Pac-12 officials, remember, it wasn't Pac-12 officials on the Clemson-Ohio State game where there was ridicule for the ejection in that one. There's been a bad officiating by every conference, but it was highlighted last night again from the Pac-12, and they're getting an especially bad rap just because of the reputation that they have, you know? And it's fair at this point.
If you're a college athlete and you're a player and you agree with, or you're anybody out there, do you agree with the ejections of collegiate athletes?
No.
I believe that the model we have for the NBA is pretty perfect, that if you unintentionally hit someone in a way that you shouldn't, you get a specific type of foul, flagrant one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically technical. We would call it a personal foul here. Like, let the guy have a 15-yard penalty, but let him keep playing. And if you do it a second time and you show you can't control yourself, well, then maybe you're gone. But even then, unless there is obvious intent that you're trying to go out and hurt somebody, I don't like removing the kid from the game at all.
And that's the hard part, Buck, is that every tackle, the intent, every hit, my intent is to hurt you. It's the fit, and not, but this is, I can only explain it in not a malicious way. I'm not trying to end your life or break your spine, but I'm trying to remind you that if you do come in here, that is a physical will. Someone on Twitter had to say is that don't do something that will risk your life. Are you a moron? Risk your life? You play football is risky. It's a violent, aggressive sport. It is full of dudes that are big and physical. Yeah. What do you mean risk your life? You can't tell me that you're not trying to inflict physical intimidation on that. How do you do that in split seconds and do that to guys that are 18 to 22? They're not that good yet. Yeah. Pros can't even do it yet. We're expecting college athletes. I just think ejecting a college athlete is terrible.
And
terrible.
I think the key word there is like when Buck says intent to hurt, like, I think that
nobody's
is it. Malicious intent is where you can draw a line and be like, that was a cheap shot. And it should be a, like, you know, when the guy's like cheap shotting somebody and you're like, that was dirty. You know, but then again, half the country thought that Jadeveon Clowney was malicious in intent with Carson Wentz. So maybe it's not that easy. Just don't inject anybody. If you get two of them, then you're gone. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. More on the national championship as the show goes on, but Astros get the hammer dropped on them. Was it enough? Here's Buck. All right, a little break from college football as the Houston Astros were hit with a $5 million fine, a one-year suspension for manager A.J. Hinch, general manager Jeff Luhnow, who were later fired, and the forfeiture of four draft picks, first and second round draft picks in this upcoming draft 2020 and the 2021 draft for the Houston Astros role in stealing signs. They set up a video camera. Alex Cora went to the video group and when he was a bench coach for the Astros and had them set up a center field camera to which they had it hard lined to a hallway just outside the dugout for the Astros. And at that point, Astros players would go and watch the monitor of the catcher signs and they would bang on a trash can using, I thought an interesting note in the report was that they would use one of the Theraguns to do it too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those new therapy guns, it looks like a hand drill and it's like a jackhammer on your muscles. They would use that to bang on a drum to signal an off-speed pitch was coming. They used to whistle, they tried clapping, they tried yelling. All of those not as effective as banging on a trash can. It happened through the 2017 season into the 2017 postseason. So that is why they were hit with such a stiff fine is because in September 15th of 2017, Manfred sent a memorandum to every MLB team saying, hey, we just caught the Red Sox using an Apple Watch to steal signs. If you are caught using technologies to steal signs, you will be punished with the utmost severity. And the Astros went ahead and did it.
It hasn't been great for them from the Brandon Tubman issue regarding the way he talked in not just in the clubhouse to the female reporters to now losing AJ Hinch, which I think Hinch is a good person. I just don't know why he turned a blind eye and allowed it to happen. And I'm going to be very curious about if we're going to get some players or guys that are currently on the roster and hear from it, because, you know, Garrett Cole jumped ship. Maybe he jumped ship for a reason. I know it went a $350 million reasons will tell you, or 300, whatever he got is a jumping ship. But I think this is also part of when you watch with the Washington Nationals. So those of you who don't know that going into Washington Nationals knew this was happening. The word was out. Everybody knew that that's what Houston did. And whoever was part of that did it. The fact that moving into games in that World Series, they spent 7 days prior to that World Series this year teaching their pitchers to have multiple different sign codes.
Yep.
So every pitcher went into this series with five different signal combinations, which meant is that Strasburg with a one might mean slider away compared to all those other things that were different. So they had to memorize everything that was about their signs because they knew exactly what Houston was doing. They're cheaters. They knew it. They didn't have to do it. And they beat them at their own game. So that's already done. That's always been said. They finished them off. But the fact is the team has to go in knowing that. You remember when Todd Graham was at ASU and you remember all the giant wind socks that teams had to put on the sideline because he was blatantly filming and stealing during games. What does that tell you about your pro? Does that Todd Graham was fired and the whole team, you look at it and when you see it out in front of you and you eventually, I don't have any respect for liars and cheaters when it comes to sports. Zero, none whatsoever. I got no sympathy for that at all. But I do believe there are good players on the Houston Astros roster. And I do believe that some of them are probably like, well, if my boss is telling me to do that and they're doing that, do I accept it? Do I like it? I don't know. I really want to hear from guys like George Springer. I'd love to hear from Altuve. I'd love to hear from some of those guys that are out there. And Bregman, were they just going along? Were they just doing their job?
Yeah.
Or at any point in time, did they be like, man, this isn't right?
I think there was a kind of like they were being told that this is kind of everybody does it sort of deal.
Everybody jumps off bridges. Does that make it right? I mean,
that's kind of what they were being told. And it, within the report, it's very interesting.
Do we know that? Do you know that? Like, is that what you thinking?
No, I just said I think that it's kind of they were probably told everybody does it. You know, like because all these guys came up with one organization, right? Think of all the guys that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then the veteran Carlos Beltran, who was kind of like supposedly one of the ringleader players of this thing. And that's why people are surprised Beltran is not being punished because he's now a manager of the New York Mets. Is that that's one of the weird things about this is that in the report, it says players were the ones that were going back, watching the video and giving the signs to each other. Right. And all of the players had to have known because you knew that the banging on the trash can meant off speed pitch was coming. Yet no players were punished. And Manfred said it's because of there's so many players involved and some of them are on other teams now. Like that seems like a weird thing.
Players
not
don't
to
put cameras. Players don't make rooms. Players take advantage of what teams give them.
Right, but that doesn't mean that they weren't complicit, like you were saying. Like they were part of the problem. Like AJ Hinch.
This is 100% leadership.
I get the AJ Hinch.
No,
totally agree with it, and I agree with Jim Crane firing him. I agree with Jeff Luhnow, who the report says he didn't know anything, which I find hard to believe. But he's culpable because he's the general manager of field management.
Yep.
AJ Hinch, he's standing behind. Well, I tried to destroy the monitor twice. Why didn't you stop it? Like, that's not a good enough excuse as I destroyed the monitor twice because I didn't agree with it. You didn't stop it. Alex Cora is the guy who kind of set up the camera, according to the report.
Yep.
And he's now the manager of the Red Sox. They're not punishing him because the Red Sox were cheating too. And so now they have an investigation. It just doesn't make sense that if the players were watching the video, relaying the signals, then using that information, that they're not culpable too. And I'm an Astros fan, and I think some of those players should be punished because it is their fault as well, right? You and I agree with this in that they had to have known it wasn't right or legal, right?
I can't answer that, but your leadership tells you it's part of it, and if they're going to allow it, then you're a player, you're part of their employee. If your employee tells you to do something, you do it because they're your boss.
Yeah.
Or you can quit and leave. You could take whatever you want. You can quit. You can say, cut me. I want to leave. Don't pay me my money. But if you're being paid millions of dollars to do a job and your employer tells you to do something and use this and they say it's okay, you're going to use it. You're not your job. And you can take your own internal ability and you can say, I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to do it. I've never been in that situation. Of course, I've been handed drugs before and be like, take this. It's going to take your pain away so you can play better. I took the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I did because my doctor, my coach told me to do it. And I thought, okay, this is going to make me play better because I better do it because my bosses are telling me to do it. Does it stupid in the other end? Yeah. Do I wish I was smarter? Certainly now. And I look back at it. These guys are going to regret this tremendously because it's tainted. Championship is now tainted. It's always going to be asterisked. Every single one of them are going to be made fun of the rest of their careers. Oh, yeah. You guys are on that 2-7 Astros team. Yeah, you bunch of cheaters. They're never going to get over it. And that's the unfortunate part side of it is that it took away from all their efforts and things they did do extremely well, like be a really good baseball team.
Yeah, they were a damn good baseball team regardless. And I mean, you mentioned the Nationals thing. That the interesting part about that is the Nationals, this investigation started before that World Series, the 2019 World Series even was played. And they every time the road team won in that series, which is an interesting twist on that one. And the team you got to really feel for in this is the Dodgers, who they lost to the Astros and then they lost to the Alex Cora led Boston Red Sox in the World Series the very next year. And they released a statement that said all clubs have been asked by Major League Baseball not to comment on today's punishment of the Houston Astros as it's inappropriate to comment on the discipline imposed on another club. The Dodgers have also been asked not to comment on any wrongdoing during the 2017 World Series and will have no further comment at this time.
If you saw Yu Darvish's tweet, he said, well, someone please, someone going to give me the you garbage jersey now, put that back out there in circulation. You know, he's being self-deprecating, making fun of himself because he was called like the guy that everybody was tipping pitches. What really was it? What is that? Was he tipping pitches or was they just being stolen from him? Like he's a bad guy. He's a bad pitcher. Whatever we are, we'll never know because some of those guys might die with this secret about what they used and how they did it. We do know they cheated and they lied about it.
Wait, well, did they lie about it? Because I think it just kind of like...
Have they admitted anything? AJ Hinch, have they done anything? Have they sat there and said it was completely and utterly...
Well, yeah, that's what the report was. Like Jim Crane did a press conference taking full responsibility in saying that nothing in the findings was inaccurate and everybody kind of went along with the...
When you cheat, you are a liar. They go hand in hand. So you can admit it or not, that's fine. When you do that cheating and then you're taking advantage of the situation... You're not only lying to yourself, you're disgracing the game.
Oh, absolutely. Like, hey, championship can be tainted for the annals of history. But as I said earlier, the memories of that run, never going to change in my mind. The moments living in those moments and feeling those moments, those are never going to be gone, because the elation, the pitch by pitch, that is something that, like, my whole family getting behind it, going to the World Series, those memories won't be taken from me, and those were incredible moments. It does suck that they cheated to get him, though. But it is life. And as fans, we learn to find ways to rationalize and still find ways to be happy, and those will always be happy memories for me. All right, let's go off the rails. Next on The Fan.
What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
Fungal spore.
Growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
All right, you said something yesterday that I think is perfect for Off the Rails.
Before that, I wanted to get to one thought before we move on to the baseball thing, because I wanted to say is that I think Major League Baseball is doing a really good job with this. I think they need to come out with even more and more of a hammer, and I hope they do something to the Red Sox, and I hope they go after all those guys that did that.
Oh,
baseball
they will, yeah.
Perpetuates cheating. This comes from a guy that I yelled at a fan across on the other side, a dad that was sitting, as I was just giving basic signs to my catcher to try to, with pitches, nobody else but a dad was yelling out my signs. It incited me, and of course it's just a dad, so I moved on. But I was like, dude, shut up. Stop. This is what baseball does. Baseball is going to allow you, and then the game is such a great game. I love baseball. I do. I practice it year round. I think it's one of the greatest. It's our game. We created it. We brought it here. It's been around for. It's America's pastime. That's what you want to say. It's football. It's America's pastime. Major League Baseball has got a shot here. They got to fix this. They got to do something. And if you want to bring in the steroid conversation, steroids were legal at the time when this happened. That Bonds era, McGuire, that was all everybody was taking. Major League Baseball did not ban that. So you want to call it illegal or tainted, that's fine. But this is completely different. This is blatant cheating and lying and fans and all of that. And that is inexcusable when it comes to professional sports. You're a paid professional. You don't need to cheat, dude. If you can't beat a guy straight up, then don't do it. It's pathetic. And that's exactly what pathetic organizations do. And I'm glad, and I'm very glad. I'm very glad Major League Baseball is doing this, and Rob Manfred. I don't think it's enough.
What should they do?
I'm not here to judge. I'm telling you, I'm glad, very glad that they're going to do this. I hope the Red Sox get just slammed too. If Joey Cora ended up doing that, I slam him. Take it away. Do whatever you can. Vacate your World Series. Rip it right from them. Because if you don't nip it in the bud now, what will stop to the next wave? Because you're always going to try to push the limit. Next thing you know, you're Russia.
Right. Well, you are. Next thing you know, you're Russia. And I mean, if you vacate it, though, this is the thing with college sports, though. When they vacate titles, we all remember who won, though. You know?
Yeah, like I said, you want to take Reggie Bush's Heisman away? That's fine.
Yeah,
I don't care
still
what you
remember
do.
It all.
But don't lie. Don't get to the fact that you don't think that that's going to burn a burr in your saddle. Knowing, not you, just anybody in general, as a player, anybody that said, man, that's not real. Like, what I did is not, like, I put my effort, I did everything. Those players are the ones that are going to be upset the most, because, like, they busted their butt to get that championship. They wanted it, and it's never going to look the same.
Yeah.
Never.
It is a good message that they're going after the manager and the GM. And like, that's the head scratching part, is the players are not at all, including Carlos Beltran, who's now a manager.
Well, the game just, it invites cheating. It's got so much time. It's got all these little catcher signals, pitcher time, mouth. It just invites it. And if you're going to accept that, you're going to be like, oh, okay, if everybody's doing it, I'm going to do it. Then,
well, in stealing signs is okay. Using technology is not.
100%. Like, if you're dumb enough to stick your number one finger down below your crotch and everybody can see a fastball coming, that's on you. That's not technology.
We did that when we were 10 years old. Yes. Like, you know, playing Little League. Like, yeah. Oh, you're going to put a one or a two down? I'll put one or two arms down from second base.
Exactly.
Not that hard.
This is you're filming it and signaling it. This is not
transmitting signals with earpieces.
Right.
And Apple watches.
Man, the fact that they were able to break the code, though, so frequently and so routinely and quickly.
Yeah.
That's impressive. You know, because it's not like it was just like, boom, we got him. We get it.
Well, the court of public opinion is going to go out and put their own judgment on all these players. They really are. From Bregman to Altuve and all those guys. The first question is how did Altuve know that Chapman's going to throw a slider? Or how did all those guys know that this fastball was coming at a certain time? Mm-hmm. Does that change the outcome of a game? Yes, 150,000,000% it does. If I know a guy is throwing me a slider at 103 miles an hour, or when he has 104 mile an hour fastball and he's going to throw me a 92 mile an hour slider, you dang right that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So take what you want, man. You can take all your memories you want. This isn't a condemnation on your fanhood. I'm not saying is that those memories will always be great. But for baseball, Rob Manfred did the right thing.
Yeah.
Actually, he probably should do more. But the court of public opinion will do enough. They'll rip them. They'll do it. People will do it.
Well,
they'll get on their high horse and they'll do that.
Get on their high horse and rip them.
Yeah, that's what everybody does. Everybody does. They condemn everything. They
do it. Yeah, but I mean, and this text says, you know, they need to vacate the championships, 4 draft picks, $5 million, 1 year suspension, a bargain for a World Series. Well, you got rid of, they fired their GM and they fired their manager, which, you know, Jeff Luhnow, say what you want about the guy. He did a great job of assembling a roster and building a team. And he did do a good job at that. So you're starting from scratch there for the Astros. So because they went above and beyond the punishment and Jim Crane fired them. But it's like, it was worth the World Series. It was worth it.
I don't know, man. I would never want my Mariners to be remembered that way. Sorry, it's not. That's how I sit. Anybody else can sit how they want. But tell you right now, if I was part of a fan base or I was on a team that my team did that to win a series, to win something, it would never sit well.
See,
you can't ever walk into the Hall of Fame or walk down a street and not have someone look at you and go, oh, by the way, cheater. Done. It's it. That's it. You're labeled.
Well,
done. It's never going away.
As a player, that's fine. But as a fan, like you sit there and you go, like I'm sitting here today going, look, like it sucks that my favorite team is stuck in this forever. It's infamous. The 2017 World Series is now. That sucks. But it will never change those moments and the way you feel. And how it was the most fun I've ever had as a sports fan. Most fun I've ever had as a sports fan was that World Series run. And that will never change for me. Like that, it can't change because of the way that I felt in those moments. Like looking back on it now, you sit there and you go, man, that sucks. But in those moments, the joy that I had following that team, that was elation. It was great.
We can jump on this all day long. We can take whatever point of view. It's who you are, individual. It's like golf, man. If you're out golf with somebody and he needs to tell you he shot a 4 when he really shot a 6, you got to cheat. That's you. That's on you. It's on your own. You got to wake up in the mirror. You got to look. That's 100%. I don't think that there's a bunch
of
athletes.
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm saying in general. This is a show. I hope there's somebody listening out there. I said, this is the uses. You can take it on. This
I thought
is
you
your
were responding to me personally on that.
No, I'm not in your shoes, man. I'm not. I don't know. I couldn't deal with if my team did that.
So what would you
rip
do?
I would disown them.
Oh, you'd just be
done? Absolutely, I'd leave the Mariners if they did that. 100%. Until they gutted everybody and they had a complete purge and they restarted over from scratch. I wouldn't want anybody. The fact is all that stuff too, is that all the livelihoods in that organization that are now just ripped, families, coaches, support staff, they didn't want to do that. But now they're all going to be gutted and ripped and torn apart. And that's not on them. That was on a few guys that got selfish because they wanted to cheat.
Yeah. I'm just a fan of baseball. You know?
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Here we go.
Let's talk Cougs, man. Cougs can make a big hire. Nick Rolovich is the man in the Palouse. What does that mean for Washington State? Dustin Cam on the Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds?
Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.